Welcome to our Easter edition of Entertainment Review. It's the My Michelle Live podcast.
My Michelle Live, Entertainment Review. Roll out the red carpet. Here's Michelle.
Like it, big voice guy, if you could follow me around and when I walk into a room, have that music play. It would just be really good for my self-esteem. I don't know, but you know what else is good for my self-esteem? Having amazing guests. And that's what we have today as you and I get geared up for Easter. There's a lot of ways that we celebrate Easter. And one thing traditional in our family, and I think a lot, is just getting in the groove with some good entertainment. You know, you watch a couple of films. It's a way to tell the story with the kids. There's a lot of other cool ways, too, we might get into today. But let me introduce you to my guest. Now, this man has been a longtime journalist. He's covered politics, faith, even entertainment. And he's going to fill us in with how you can get connected with PureFlix and binge watch Easter until the 4th of July. So it's pretty cool. Billy Hollowell is with us today. Hey, Billy, it's good to connect with you again.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Okay, we'll get into some films and some recommendations, but do you have any unique ways that you guys celebrate or get ready for Easter or try to drive into your family, maybe kids? What Easter's about getting, I mean, we need that right now. We need a little Easter.
We do. I feel like after this year, we need a whole bunch of Christmases, a whole bunch of Easters. We need a whole bunch of a lot of things, but you know, it's for our family. I love new traditions, and we've actually started a new tradition. It's something we were doing at Thanksgiving that has now transferred over to Easter. And every day we have this tree, and this is going to sound crazy to some people because you're going to say, wait, you have an Easter tree? And I guess the answer is yes, sort of. We kind of have an Easter tree, but we have this light up tree. It's not a big tree. And on the tree, we have these eggs that you can write something you're grateful for on. You can do it with a dry erase marker, so you can use it every year. And so, yeah, we've got this Easter tree, and the kids sit down, and we sit down, and we write one thing a day that we're grateful for up through Easter, right? So you fill the tree with these eggs. And the idea is that on Easter morning, you've got a whole bunch of stuff that you're grateful for and you can reflect on it. So we do that at Thanksgiving and also at Easter. And obviously the point is to point us back toward God and our gratitude for everything he's given us. And so what better time than the holidays to be thinking about those things?
That is really a cool idea. I love that. That's what you listen to shows like this for, to get those kind of cool ideas. Have you seen the resurrection eggs? Have you seen those?
I have. Yeah, I have. Yes. And so that's another thing we do. You're referring to the ones, I forget what company makes them, where every egg has a different part of the story in it, right?
Yeah. It's yes. Like the whole passion put into the little plastic Easter eggs in a cardboard carton. And that's great. You know, if you don't find that company or you want to save some money, you can be a little creative, get those eggs yourself, save an egg carton, and each egg, for some people, they use different colors to represent different parts of the Easter story. So having a rock, a cross, one that's empty.
What a fun project to make that.
Right? Your whole family.
Yeah, make that with your family.
Yeah, just think of the 12 maybe steps that and wait a palm leaf. You know, there's neat things that you can do. And then you hide those. That's much better than hiding real eggs that sometimes you don't find and then your dog does later. Yeah, true story. I love it.
When you smell it later, you realize, oh, that's under the cushion and I forgot.
It's terrible. No kidding. I know. It's true. It's right. Now, I'm in the Northwest. Where are you?
So today I'm in Pennsylvania, but we live outside of New York, just outside of New York City. So we are in the Northeast.
Okay. I don't know how the rain is there, but it's always raining on Easter. It's just kind of, and it's like a misty thing, right? It just rains. And so we still go out, we do Easter egg hunts, but a real true story, I owned an establishment. A family came in just after Easter. The little girl was still wearing her dress. And I said, did you have a nice Easter? Did you do Easter egg hunts? And she said, no. And she was really pouty. And her mom said, she's really mad because it didn't rain this year. And she thought that the tradition was that you go out in the mud, you get your pretty dress all icky, and you look for Easter eggs in the mud. That's what Easter was for them. I was like, you know,
the
it's a different
worst person. Nightmare is her dream, right? The parents' worst nightmare that her dress is getting all ruined on Easter Sunday. That's what this kid wants.
Right. And, you know, I'm thinking that sounds like fun to me. You know, that's how I grew up. But, you know, all that to say, we all have different neat things that we do to celebrate Easter. But one thing that we all have in common in our society, we tell our stories and relay our culture through film a lot. And there are so many neat films that are out there. Some are spectacular. Some are just good, but they have a great message. But each one has their place, I think, Billy. And as we go into Easter, I really want to get into maybe some films that we know of and need to be reminded of, and films that maybe we didn't consider.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's funny, as you were saying that, there are so many movies on PureFlix right now that I was just watching one yesterday. I was watching Risen. And Risen is a film.
That's the gold standard. Oh, I love that film.
Yes.
I love it.
Oh, it's such a good movie. And if you haven't seen it, right, you're seeing the resurrection story through the eyes of a Roman soldier. And he's a fictional character, but there were so many obviously real life Roman soldiers. And you could imagine as you're watching this movie, what it was like to be a Roman soldier and to witness at the time the crucifixion and death of Jesus. And then in the case of this particular soldier, he's sort of journeying through understanding those details surrounding it, and he's being challenged. Was this maybe a real thing? Was Jesus maybe telling the truth? And so it's a phenomenal film that takes a very real life story and puts it through this lens of a character who you can relate to. And for me, the thing I love most, you were talking about some movies are just spectacular, like Risen, some are just good, but they have a great message. For me, the thing that I love the most is a story that gives us a lens into the character and who they are. And yeah. There is a series, a TV series called The Chosen, which a lot of people in Christian circles have become very well aware of. I'm sure you've heard of The Chosen. And what The Chosen does so beautifully is it transports us into the biblical world. You know, we can read scripture, we can read the Bible, see those stories, but it gives you an idea of what would it have actually been like to be a person, again, who is there watching, and not just watching, but experiencing in real time as a follower of Jesus, the fear, right? The anxiety, the pain, then all of the amazing things that follow that. And so that series, it's broader than just the resurrection, obviously. In fact, the series hasn't even gotten to that yet. But it's telling the stories of Mary Magdalene and Jesus's followers and the disciples. And so I love that story-driven lens that lets me know, wow, I don't know what those people said and did in their interactions, but this gives me an idea of what it might've been like.
I like it. And here's why. I think a lot of Bible stories and Bible movies from the, I'm sorry for those of you who aren't watching, those were Michelle's magic quotation fingers. Often they tell their story, but it's very Hollywood-esque, or it's done indicative of the time that they're in. You know, everybody, if it's in the 70s, everybody has 1970 hairdos, and, you know, and there's a lot of our culture that's put into it. What I'm seeing in films now is more of an immersive experience where you really are, there really is an attention to detail of what it was really like, what the sights and the sounds and the clothing and the people and the differences, but also the similarities. I enjoy that because, you know, otherwise it's another nice story, but having that understanding. Oh, and get this, see if you agree with me on this. Some of that is important because I think that with the Bible, we read it the same way Hollywood has made movies about it. We read it in context to what I'm experiencing today and what today is like. But when you look at it through history and through the culture of the time, it gives a real deep meaning, a deeper meaning that even transcends to our time.
Yeah, and to be able to really put yourself in that person's shoes and to remember that these are real life human beings, right? I think because of how we talk about scripture appropriately, when scripture is elevated up, we elevate the stories up to a place where we, I think, sometimes no longer remember that humanity. And one of the remarkable things about the Bible is that we see the humanity in all of, I mean, Peter denying Christ, right? I mean, all of these things. And it's so easy to say, well, how could he do that? He was there the whole time. But then you go into the story and you see how that might have looked and the pressure that was there and you think about, well, gosh, how have I reacted in my own life when I've had pressure that was nowhere near as intense as that? And so you get a chance to really appreciate through film, through TV, who these people really are and were. And that to me is a really incredible thing. Now, again, that doesn't mean, I think people sometimes can also get very worked up about, well, these dialogues weren't in the Bible. It's like, well, of course not. You know, you're taking something and putting it into a film form and you want it to be true to the Bible. And the one thing I love about all the things we have at PureFlix is they are true to the Bible, but you get that idea of what it might have been like. And that's huge.
It's exciting to watch when you can get that entire experience. And yeah, you know, for those of you who are purists, then don't watch Risen, because we don't know for sure that there was a Roman soldier by that name who it's kind of like a BC CSI, right? It kind of, you know, has that awesome, it's awesome, but you know, no one is making these films saying thus saith the Lord, you know. And if you're that uptight about it, then that's not, these may not be the film for you. But it really does, there are so many stories, and I've said this before, Billy, the Bible itself says if we were to tell all the stories of all the things that Jesus did, all the people he touched, all of the miraculous things that took place, the whole world could not contain the volumes of books that were written about it. And if you want to put it in our terms, there's not enough disk space, people. There's just not enough disk space.
The USB cannot fit it all. And that is but it's so true. And I think we have to remember that. So we have to remember that. And also, I mean, a lot of people, we don't know where their stories ended. We don't even, Jesus's father, Joseph, where did he, we don't know. So you're not given all those details. And so what a lot of these filmmakers do is they go in, they take, they're true to the scriptures and they create a story around that or within that. And it's really, I think we're going to see even better content coming. What we have now is phenomenal and it's growing and there's so much excitement. There's a lot of kids content too, which, you know, when I was a kid, there wasn't as much when it came to Easter that was really well done. There's Lion of Judah, you know, which is an animated film. It's kind of cute through the eyes of the animals, right? At the time of the crucifixion, what it might have been like. There's, of course, VeggieTales, Twas the Night Before Easter, and a number of other Easter specials. There's at least two on PureFlix. So it's great to have this content and this time of year, especially after the pandemic and the pain and the uncertainty and the chaos of that, to be able to come together around this content and rally around this content. And I would also say, you know, one thing for me, I like to look at Hollywood and movies as worldview builders, because that's what they are. And many times they're not positive worldview builders, right? But when you're talking about Christian entertainment, you're talking about faith and family-friendly films, they're building a worldview. Everything we take in, everything we watch, everything we listen to, it builds that up. And so if you're a parent, you know, and you're thinking about how do I raise my kid in a way that they're gonna grow up loving the gospel, understanding the gospel? Well, a lot of it has to do with obviously church and how we raise them. But also part of that is what entertainment are we taking in? What are we listening to? What are we watching? And so I always encourage people to think about that, because we, even as adults, we are building or sustaining or propping up or rebuilding a worldview with what we consume.
Well put. we can also utilize some of the worldviews that don't really fit into our own home theology as learning moments. And that's often why we do this entertainment review too, is giving parents insight. Now, every family has their own tolerance levels, sensitivities. So, you know, I'm not here to tell you what to watch and what not to watch, but to give you the tools to choose for yourself and for your family. There are times where I would rather sit down and watch a film and expose kids to some things that they're going to experience in the real world than to just hide them away. And then when they turn 18, say, okay, there you go. And they're like, what? Right? So, you know, there are ways that we can utilize films. And as we encroach upon Easter, it is a really good way to remind kids, to get them grounded in that Easter story. I mean, it's a story that billions of people celebrate all over the planet. Why? 2,000 years later, this brutal happening in history and the death of an innocent man, we celebrate. Why? What is it about that? And before we go on to some other films, Risen is one that gets into some of the very historical documentation of the resurrection. We'll be talking, we're talking a little bit more today on some of the insights from the resurrection, some of the actual CSI, what is provable and what is not. And if you missed our Tuesday program, we talked about the science of the resurrection, so you can go back there and listen. Let's talk a little bit more about some of your faves. I wanted to highlight PureFlix too, because that is a place that people can go, kind of a one-stop shop for a lot of good family entertainment that you know will fit in with your worldview.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, we talked about The Chosen, which I love. I love The Chosen. Lion of Judah, you know, the VeggieTales series. You've also got Apostle Peter and the Last Supper, where that's a real biblical feature. It's got Bruce Marciano in it, and you get a chance to see Peter recounting his life and legacy, obviously, in the faith. And so there's so many titles. Remember the Bible series, Mark Burnett and Roma Downey, that's also streaming on PureFlix. So you've got a lot of options, and I love all of those. Again, my thing is, tell me the story, take me into the story, show me who these people are, help me understand the context. I mean, you mentioned the fact we're still talking about Jesus 2,000 years later, and not only are we talking about it, it's a faith that has grown every part of the world. There's something, obviously, and we know as Christians what that is, but there's something about this story that has attracted people to it. And you look at the stories of people and how they've changed as a result of becoming Christians and what that means to them and their lives and their families' lives. There's so many components to this. And reflecting on that in film is really important. And I would say one of my favorite movies of all time, and one of the ones that is not an Easter movie per se, but it's one that we should be watching at Easter. And we have a little, if you go over to PureFlix, there's a little channel under it that says Enter into Easter. And that's where all of these films are. And The Case for Christ is there. And The Case for Christ is Lee Strobel's story. Yeah. And for those who haven't seen it, obviously the book, we all know the book, and the film recounts his marriage and his life and becoming what it was like to become a Christian after being an atheist for so long and trying to disprove it. And so that, to me, though, a story like that is the Easter story, right? Like the Easter story is entering in to that.
It's not a story for kids. It's not a story for kids. I mean, you know, it's going to be over their head and a little dull, but for adults, it's well done. And it chronicles this writer and his investigation, trying to disprove the gospel, trying to disprove this whole Jesus thing, because his wife has turned into this crazy Christian chick. He's like, I gotta save her. Good for him. You know, this is what's very cool too to me about the Bible. It is unique among religious texts in that God himself says, test me, try me, prove me. You know, it is not afraid of ask the hard questions, try to disprove it, go ahead, you know, you go for it.
It's also not afraid, and I meant to say this before, I started inching towards this, but it's not afraid to show people's flaws, right? When you talk about Peter and the denials, yes. When you talk, very often when it comes to holy books, you're presenting the best of the best, right? You're not going to show that weakness. And the Bible is filled with people who not only are weak at moments, but they show some of the worst behavior at moments. And you know, I mean, I was just, yeah. You know, going through the story of Jonah with my kids, and we're talking about Nineveh, and we're, you know, explaining that God kept telling him, you're going to go, and he didn't want to go. He goes the opposite direction, right? And that's like so many of us. The Bible is reflective of human stories of real people, and you don't get that in a lot
that
of other
so
places.
That is so true. You're not going to hear that Muhammad had flatulence or something. You know, it just doesn't really happen. You know, they're these demigod-like figures, and it's true. And you see the best and you see the worst. And, you know, if I were going to write a text about my faith, I would probably, if I, you know, knew it was going to last 2,000 years, I probably wouldn't want some of the things that are in the Bible written about, right? I mean, but
well, it's like going into a job interview and leading with your worst qualities, right? I mean, you wouldn't do it because it's not, you know, and I say that respectfully because I think it actually is what makes the Bible so true and so beautiful is that it does that. It tells these amazing stories of, you know, life change. And I mean, look at the story of Saul/Paul, right? I mean, look at that story of being a persecutor, a person who hands Christians over to die, who abuses Christians, who has this Damascus Road moment and his entire life changes. And then he writes, you know, a substantial portion of the New Testament and is one of the most transformative figures. You know, only Christianity writes those stories, right? And it's phenomenal.
And it's lessons for us too, because it really is okay to not go to church Sunday morning if you're a Christmas, Easter, you know, Christian, and put on your church face and, oh, how are you? Oh, well, I'm just blessed. Hallelujah. Thank you very much. It's okay to be real. I mean, we need a little bit more of that. I'm not going to lie, in the church. You know, we've talked about how cool Christianity is, but sometimes we get into religiosity and we like to cook the books and make things look like we're God's PR person. God doesn't need you to be his PR person. His strength is made perfect in your weakness. And that is part of the Easter story. We have a weakness in society. We see it more and more. In this Easter, this may be the time to watch a few films, see, get your family thinking and see where the Easter story can bring a little resurrection into your life. We've been talking with Billy Hollowell. He is a longtime journalist and author. He's also giving us a little insight into Easter entertainment and even some really cool ideas. A little Easter tree. I like that, Billy. I really like it a lot. You guys?
I mean, we wanted joy. We wanted some joy. So we were like, let's get an Easter tree. We had a Thanksgiving tree. I know people think we're crazy. We had the Thanksgiving tree going already. So we're like, we're going to add it into Easter now. We're going to do it.
I just got back from Narland's and I didn't realize that those folks put up their tree early. They leave it, you know, they leave it until like Easter. And, you know, it just gets Mardi Gras decorations and then Easter decorations. You know, it's just like, just keep the celebration going. And, you know, where it comes to Easter, it's not just indicative of one day. When you really understand the Easter story, that is a celebration every single day through your ups, through your downs, through pain and sorrow, through jubilation. Man, we've got something to celebrate, and we've been doing it with our friend Billy. Thanks for making time for us, Air 5. It's good to see you, man. Don't be a stranger.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
It's been a while.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Please keep your arms and hands inside the podcast at all times. Buckle up and enjoy the ride.
There is one thing that has me feeling really, really good and looking better than maybe ever before. We can get you the best deals on Calitrin, and you can help us spread the God story by going to My Michelle Live, clicking on the Calitrin link, and using promo code MyMichelleLive.
For the man who has everything, except anything for his beard. The Luxury Beard Box, from Real Bearded Men at MyMichelleLive.com.
You are listening to our special resurrection celebration of Entertainment Review. Just to give it some perspective as we look at some of the Easter films documenting this incident that took place 2,000 years ago, a brutal incident. Why are we celebrating it? Is it really true? We talked on Tuesday, go back and listen, to the science behind the resurrection. Is there really any evidence? And I thought, in light of one of my favorite Easter movies, Risen, that we would dig a little deeper. Now, joining me to do a little bit of investigating is Eric Hovden. He is a resurrection expert and with Creation Today. Eric Hovden, it is so good to have you back. It's been too long.
It has. Thanks for having me back. I appreciate it.
And it's a good time, too, because we're hitting the Easter season. We're just really deep into Lent. Easter right around the corner. And we know that this world needs this message of the resurrection. If it's true, we need it now more than ever.
We really do. In a world that is questioning if truth even exists, Christianity has something that's different than Hinduism and Buddhism and the Judaism, and it doesn't accept the resurrection, and Islam. We have a risen Savior. He has conquered death, and we get to live in that victory with Him.
Well, if this is indeed true, we really need some evidence of it, because we were watching the movie Risen, and that's a great movie for this time. It's perfect. I've had family members call it a CSI, CSIBC, or Law and Order Biblical Intent, because it does have that kind of investigation feel, and it's from the point of view of a non-believer, a Roman soldier, the police investigator of the day. And I think that's really timely, because we are a country of skeptics, and we really do need to see it, prove it, feel it, touch it, know it, have evidence.
Absolutely. And Michelle, that's what makes me love this movie so much. I've watched it 4 times now, and I got the first time I saw it, I went, wow, I never thought of the resurrection from this perspective. There had to be a manhunt going on, and the film is rightly called the biggest manhunt in history. Where do we find this the dead body? Because if we don't find this dead body, there's going to be a revolt, man. There's going to be people going, wait a minute, he really is risen. He was the Messiah, and they didn't want that.
Yes, and if you're just joining us, Eric Hovden of Creation Today is with us, and we're taking on the resurrection. Truth, fiction, reality, important today? Yeah, it's important today, and we are talking about it. What do we know, though, today? You know, we saw the movie Risen, and if you haven't, you should go see it. If you've seen it, you see that they're using first century technology to solve this mystery of a missing body of this man, Jesus. It's from a first century mindset, but here we are thousands of years later. What do we know now that we may not have known then?
Well, Michelle, it's amazing. I just did a series with a resurrection expert, Tim Chafee. It's a small group series called Risen Without a Doubt, because at the end of 6 sessions, you're looking at all this evidence going, wow, he really did rise without a doubt. Can I throw out a couple pieces of evidence for you real quick?
Oh, yeah, let's do it. I like this.
Okay, for example, we see in Daniel, this is just prophetic evidence, first of all. Prophetic evidence would be, for example, the book of Daniel. Daniel prophesies the day that the Messiah would go for his walk into the city, Jerusalem, for his triumphal entry. And this was a fascinating look as we opened up Scripture and we saw to the very day Daniel had prophesied that this king would come. It would be the equivalent of Christopher Columbus landing here in North America and prophesying. When he got off, he stepped foot on the land and he said, hey, in 2016, on this day and at this time, Eric and Michelle are going to be talking on the radio, and there's going to be people listening, and they're going to be talking about the resurrection of Christ. That's the accuracy that the Bible gives us with the prophecies, for example, in Daniel and then in Zephaniah and other books of the Bible. So we see prophetic evidence of what was going to happen, the crucifixion, the death, burial, and resurrection then of Christ. Another thing that are called, the Bible even calls them, infallible proofs, the one that you can't argue with, and that is people that saw the resurrected Savior. When you realize, and when you study the Bible and other books, even outside the Bible, you realize anyone who came in contact or talked with the resurrected Savior believed in Jesus Christ. So this, to me, and this is why the Bible calls them the infallible proofs, when you realize that Jesus' own brother James was a doubter, he was a skeptic, he did not believe his brother Jesus, or his half-brother Jesus, was really the Messiah, the Son of God.
Well, sure, and think of that dynamic. If you've ever had brothers and sisters and you had a brother who could do no wrong, that would be a real hard shadow to live under, wouldn't you think? I mean, really, yeah. Wouldn't that? Sibling rivalry? Oh, hello.
I did have a brother that was pretty good. I got in a lot more trouble than he did. So I understand how that goes.
So can you imagine being the half-brother of the Son of God? It's like, man, I get in trouble for everything. Jesus doesn't do anything wrong. So you can see, if you really look a little deeper, and I think the movie Risen is like this, because it takes it from a kind of a realistic doubter's point of view. When you look into the realism of the Bible and think, James, half brother of Jesus, there's more reason for him to doubt than maybe anyone else. You know, he grew up with him, and for him to, as you're telling us, to have this revelation because he saw his brother die and he saw his brother risen. That's amazing.
That is. I love the fact that the Risen movie actually dealt with some of what I call apologetical arguments. I'm in the field of apologetics, which is not telling everybody you're sorry for things, although I have been married for 16 years and I'm really good at apologizing now. But
and that's why he's been married all those years, folks.
That's right. I'm going to keep apologizing to stay married. I know how it works. But apologetics teaches people how to defend the truth of Christianity, and that's what our ministry Creation Today does, is we teach people how to defend the truth that Christ really did die, that he really was buried, that he really did rise on the third day. We find here, let me just give you another little tidbit. There's a stone, a tablet called the Nazareth Inscription. And this tablet was found, and it has recordings from Pilate, who wrote down some laws for the people there in the Judea area. One of the laws that's recorded on the Nazareth Inscription is you are not allowed to move a body, a dead body, with malicious intent. Now, why in the world? And this is from about 40 A.D. or between 40 and 50 A.D. Why in the world would somebody pass a law that says you can't move a body with malicious intent? I'll tell you why. It's because people were still trying to claim that the disciples had stolen the body of Jesus and that he didn't really rise from the dead. Now, while people will die for a variety of reasons, Michelle, they don't usually die for a lie. They die for something they believe is true. And every single one of the
Let's just be honest. People will die for a cause if they believe it's true, even if it's a wrong cause, even if it is indeed a wrong cause. However, what we're also seeing with each one of these apostles that died, gruesome deaths sometimes, you know, they, not 100% of them, you know, someone's going to give somewhere down the line and say, no, you're right, we stole the body. And that's a weird difference. That's something that makes you sit back and go, whoa, wow. And even something else, even amazing to me, is we don't appreciate as much in this day and age, is the emphasis in the Bible on the very first Christian missionaries, which were women that were going to the men. They were discounted in that society. They were lower than dogs. Their word meant nothing. So why on earth would it be written in the Bible that these women said, his body's not there, he's not there, he's alive? How would that be? That in itself is amazing to me.
Another great evidence. The film did a good job of depicting some of these things, like the disciples stole the body. So you see the Roman tribune were questioning his guard that was there at the tomb, saying, what happened? And the guard says, we fell asleep. He says, who stole the body? He said, the disciples stole the body. He says, well, how did you see this while you were sleeping? You know, just great little apologetic things that make you think about it.
Yeah. Ouch. And that's fabulous. It is evidence that demands attention. Because if this is true, and you don't have to be a believer listening right now, as I've said many times as you're hanging out with us today, and Eric Hovden from Answers in Genesis, you don't have to take a litmus test to listen or even comment on Live from Seattle. But I am telling you, this is a news story of all news stories. And if this is indeed true, and if this evidence that we are giving you today seems to pan out in any way, shape, or form, it is evidence that demands a little further investigation in your life, in your heart. And it would demand a response, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely. And that's what it comes down to, is how are you and I going to respond to the risen Savior, the one who gave his life for the ransom of mankind? He says, anybody who believes on me shall live. And that is what it comes down to. Are we really going to recognize that in our sins, we are nothing? We need to repent and trust in what Christ did on the cross for our salvation. So when I look at the resurrection and I look at all the evidence for it, I sit back and I go, wow, he is truly risen without a doubt. And it's great to have that news still broadcast 2,000 years later.
That's the good news that we need, because their news cycle is littered with disappointment, scary things, things that make us seem a little unsure. And yet here is the news story of all news stories, which is the greatest story ever told and the best good news story I could ever share, just in time for Easter, and with our friend Eric Hovden of Creation Today. And it's good to connect with you again. You have to come on a little sooner. I mean, it's been quite a few months, so we'd love to have you back again.
Well, thank you so much, and thanks for bringing attention to this great film and to this. This is the cornerstone of Christianity right here. If this did not happen, the Apostle Paul said, our faith is in vain. So I just challenge your listeners, how much do you really know about the resurrection of Christ? This is what your entire eternity is hinging on. I'd encourage you to study it to make sure you know what you're talking about.
And I couldn't say anything better right there. That says it all. Thank you so much.
Thank you for dining at Cafe My Michelle Live.
Transform his jungle into your tropical paradise. Tropical Beard Balm.
From Real Bearded Men at MyMichelleLive.com.
I'm pretty cool. Plugging you into the movies, this is Adam Holmes.
That's right. It is time. We're just going to play it again because he's cool.
I'm pretty cool. Plugging you into the movies, this is Adam Holmes.
If you ever have a bad self-esteem day, you just call me up, Adam. I will just remind you of how cool you are.
I am a father of a 10, a 12, and a 14-year-old. And honestly, I don't have time for a bad self-esteem day, you know? You get to a certain point as a parent where you go to get cereal at 10 o'clock at night, you're in your old sweatpants, and your kids are like, are you going to wear that to the store? And I'm like, I'm trying to impress, you know?
Oh, honey, if my kids ask me, are you going to wear that to the store? It's the answer is, oh, this, and you're going to get a whole lot more. That's right. Oh, yeah. You know, what I've realized, too, is that my kids have come to the point where as they've grown, they're all about, yeah, you know what? I have no shame. I have no, you know, I have a solid self-esteem, because anything that I could have done when I was a kid, my mom would talk about on the radio. So, you know, they're like, okay, whatever. You know, we would break into spontaneous song and dance in the supermarket, and they're long past the, oh my gosh, mom, you know, you just roll with it after a while. It's my mom. What do you do?
Yeah. Yeah, my kids are like, you're not going to write about this, are you? And I'm like, maybe.
Maybe.
You know, I may not use your name, but I may write about it or talk about it.
Only the names have been changed of my children to protect the not so innocent. I like
not
it.
So innocent.
And so,
you'll appreciate this. My 12-year-old, who's almost 13, she, you would like her. She is spunky and sassy. And her latest saying is, well, I could agree with you, but then we'd both be wrong.
Oh, that's funny. Like the old adage, ask your teenagers now while they still know everything.
That's right.
Yep. Adam Holtz is with us today as we delve into movies, entertainment. And if you've ever gone to PluggedIn.com, you know that they take on everything pop culture. And since the ages of his kids require you to be on top of everything, Plugged In is there so that, you know, you don't have to do all the hard work yourself. So as we go in, we have some films to talk about. We have some Easter to get on because this is our special Easter edition where we'll be talking with Billy Hollowell of PureFlix. We're going to he's a journalist and he's going to give us a little inside view into some things that are happening there. We're actually talking with a scientist, Eric Hovden, about the movie Risen and some of the real, he's a resurrection expert. So we're going to be talking about some of the very real stuff that you can look back at historically, evidence of the resurrection. It's kind of like, ooh, if you're not a Christian and you look at that stuff, you're going do 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 do, and it comes with a warning. Really smart people have gone in to investigate the resurrection and disproven it, and they end up preachers. It's scary stuff. So if you're not a Christian and you don't want to be, stay away from it. Just stay away. Turn this off right now. Or better yet, listen. Adam, as we go into Easter weekend, we can talk about some Easter flicks in just a bit, but I wanted to talk about some films that are coming out right now. In fact, there's one that has to do with miracles, right?
Yeah, it's called The Girl Who Believes in Miracles. It's been in process for a while. I actually saw it about a year ago with my daughters, who would have been 9 and 11 at the time. And in a nutshell, this is a story about a little girl who's probably 8 or 9, maybe 10. She's, you know, just on the edge of being a tween. And she just has this wonderful, pure, beautiful faith in God that God will answer her prayers. And at one point, a dog gets hit by a car. The dog is clearly dead, right? And she prays that God would bring the dog back to life, and God answers the prayer and the dog comes back. And, you know, you start to get the, well, the Red Sea was really shallow and the wind was blowing. Everybody's like, well, maybe the dog was just stunned, and maybe clearly the dog wasn't really dead. But then she starts to do more miracles that, you know, she prays and these miraculous things happen. And she helps a paralyzed friend who starts to walk. And it's pretty much indisputable, even though her doctor keeps trying to say, well, there's something else going on here. But at a certain point, it becomes obvious that she is also not well. And that each time she does a miracle, it's almost like, you know, if you were playing a video game, her life bar goes down a little bit more. And it's that she's sick and it doesn't look like she's going to be healed. And so this is an interesting film because it begs questions about, you know, it certainly illustrates that God can and sometimes does answer our prayers for healing, but other times he doesn't. And what do we do with that? You know, what do we do with the reality of a God who from our end sometimes maybe feels a little bit indiscriminate? And yet, ultimately, the movie suggests that our hope is in Jesus, and whether we're healed here or, you know, as some people would say, healed there. I'm not actually crazy about that euphemism, but one way or another, we're going to be with Jesus in a place of glory, and we might get a glimpse of that here, but we'll definitely get the fullness of that on the other side. So,
yeah, and you know, there's more to that story for me too. There's more to that story. There's more to that story for me too. When we look at real life, sometimes the miraculous seems to happen, and sometimes the horrible seems to happen. But there is this not just comforting verse, but something that you can stand on and live on, that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. I'm telling you something, from the death of a family member to a weird court case to an unexpected illness to finances that go nuts. In it, God is there and you can feel it. It's palatable at times. It's almost crazy. And on top of that, you can sometimes down the road, if you've walked this walk for a while, you see how, wow, I mean, I'm glad that happened. I didn't like it. I don't want to do it again. But I can see how it works. And I love that. And I'm going to tell you a real story about bringing an animal back to life.
I'm ready.
Okay.
Is Bigfoot involved?
No. Well, unless you consider my son, because he's more of a Wookiee. I am heading out of town. I'm going up to Alaska. My kids are old enough to stay on their own. It's cool, right? My eldest is in charge. And as I get off the plane to check in, hey, how's everything? Mom, Nugget's dead. So we have this glorious rooster named Nugget, right? And he was attacked by a coyote, and he was dead. At least that was the thought. And the kids were beside themselves. You know, they're alone. Mom's gone. Rooster's dead. What do we do? So I call up a friend, and it's about 3 o'clock in the morning, her time. I'm like, my kids are there, you know, maybe can you go over and I don't know. And she said, let's just pray. So we pray for Nugget. We pray for, you know, we get the kids on the line. We're all praying. And then about a half hour later, my son calls back. It's a miracle. Nugget's alive. Well, yes. Could Nugget have been stunned? Yes. Didn't sure. Nugget also had this eye thing that hung out then after that. That was the one thing that didn't heal. And we couldn't catch him to just, you know, cut it. Yeah, you don't want to know. Anyway, but the thing that I'm saying is that was Nugget just stunned? Maybe. Was there a miracle? I don't know. But what it did show my kids was that we just give everything and just say, hey, God, what are you going to do? Absolutely. You're going to do. And hey,
we serve the God who resuscitates roosters, right? He cares about, he knows when the swallow and he knows when the bird falls and he knows when Nugget needs a little help. And, you know, we can laugh at it. I'm gently making a little bit of fun of it, but my mom prays about everything. She will pray about the smallest thing. And sometimes I'll tease her a little bit and she'll be like, well, do you think God doesn't care about those small things? Do you think he's not capable of answering prayers?
Ouch.
For little things?
Yeah.
All right, you're the mom, I'm the son.
My mom would pray over, you know, parking spaces. No, God, please let me get a close parking space. Woman never parked farther than 3 stalls away. So I don't know, but you were talking about resuscitation, resurrection. Yeah. We're resurrecting yet again a film, a film concept that just doesn't go away. So we have to bring it in. And I mean, there's even a song about it.
Yes. And if we want to get really crazy, we can do the Racer X version of that song. So, I don't know that I have told you. We'll play the song. This is Blue Oyster Cult.
Yeah,
right?
It is. It's Blue Oyster Cult. Yeah. There you go. Yeah. So it's just background noise. Go ahead.
What I've never told you is that I'm a total metalhead. So I play electric guitar, and there's a remade version by a metal band from the late 90s called Racer X.
Yeah.
And as much as I love Blue Oyster Cult's version, I like Racer X's version even better.
Well, we'll have to find that one. All right, I'm going to look it up right now while you tell us about the latest iteration of Godzilla.
Godzilla. So, you know, there are movies that are full of poignancy and nuance and character development and growth. Now, this is not that movie. This is about a giant and a giant ape trying to kill each other and wrecking a lot of scenery along the way. Now, if you've seen the trailer, you know there's a little girl that King Kong rescues. I'm certain they focus grouped this movie and the women said, we need more heart. So somebody said, let's put a little girl in it, you know, and she communicates telepathically with King Kong. Don't. Okay. That's fine. I have no problem with that. That's not what this movie is about. He's about a dinosaur and an ape doing this the whole time, pretty much. So if you have ever seen a Godzilla movie, you know what to expect. Scenery gets wrecked. The CGI is amazing.
Cool, cool.
I'm certain that the body count is very high here. We have a little bit of, we have a few scenes that have some violence that, you know, might make you wince a little bit. And there's a little bit of profanity, but oftentimes when we talk, I'll want to say, hey, the movie looks great, but you need to know that it goes here. Eh, no. This is it. This is what you see is what you get. It's Godzilla versus Kong. Boom. There you go.
There you go. It's what you expect. All right. I got to hear a little bit about this.
It's the perfect movie for a 13-year-old, right? A 13-year-old boy or a 13-year-old girl who also loves Godzilla. I don't want to stereotype here, but you don't want to overthink it.
All right. Good to know. And then... this is for you.
Thank you. Nobody has ever played Racer X.
Okay, I can see the appeal. Do you play guitar like that? Because if you do, you really are cool.
I aspire to. Okay? So let's just say I don't have my own YouTube channel.
Can I show you my guitar? This is my travel guitar.
Absolutely.
I love this guitar. All right. I have a weird background on it. You go. You can see a Starry Night.
Yeah, it's got Starry Night on it.
That's my travel guitar. And people ask, oh, how long have you been playing guitar? I don't play guitar. I accompany myself. That's what I do.
Right. But the good news is you're from Seattle, and arguably Kurt Cobain didn't play guitar either. So.
Ooh, boom. Boom. All right. This is our Easter edition. So I want to get your thoughts on what Easter film or films you would recommend this weekend as we get geared up for the holiday.
Well, you already touched on it. Risen is my favorite.
I know.
I mean, it's Voldemort's brother, right? It's the other Fiennes. Joe Fiennes. Is that correct? Joseph Fiennes.
Yeah.
Plays a Roman centurion who gets tasked with figuring out what happened to Jesus' body. And it's almost at times it's
BC CSI.
It feels like CSI Jerusalem, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
He sort of is investigating what happened. And it's my favorite Jesus movie. Because it really explores the story from almost a forensic perspective, and yet really engagingly so. The crucifixion scene is pretty intense. I wanted to have the family watch it a while back, and my wife's like, no, too much for the girls. Our 14-year-old boy would probably be fine. Years of Fortnite have desensitized him at this point. It's worth, if you've got younger kids, it's worth previewing and asking whether they can deal with that. But here's the thing I love about it is that Joseph Fiennes' character, and stay with me, it's almost like a Where's Waldo Jesus movie because he just keeps popping up in these biblical scenes like in the background. And so we see it from his perspective. And I love it. And the depiction of Jesus is lovely. I mean, laughs. He's normal. He just feels like somebody you would want to be with. So
nice, yeah.
That's my favorite of the recent Jesus-focused movies. And, of course, you talked with Paul Acey last week, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Probably told you about Resurrection. You can still watch that on Discovery Plus. And we haven't seen it as of our conversation right now, but The Chosen Season 2 starts on Sunday. We're still trying to get our hands on a screener for that one. But we've loved the first season, so I expect more of the same there. So there's no shortage of Jesus movie or TV content if you're of a mind to watch that.
That's right, because we need a little Easter about now in our society and in our lives. So, yeah, I'm with you. Risen by far to me. I mean, it's just an extraordinary film. Well done, well acted, well executed, historically accurate. It takes artistic liberty, but it doesn't diminish doesn't mess with biblical accuracy. I mean, just it's masterfully done. I absolutely love it. So maybe not for the little kids, but definitely for adults. And we're going to talk in just a moment to Eric Hovden, who is a resurrection specialist. He specializes in researching the resurrection. It's evidence, and we're going to ask him some tough questions about it and see what he has to say, because this may be the Easter where the resurrection really has superior meaning in your life as you investigate it yourself. We're out of time for our conversation with the one and only and the very cool Adam Holtz. Do you guys have an Easter tradition that you do that you can share with us?
Well, I don't know if I've mentioned this before. My wife is an ordained minister. So our Easter tradition is that mom goes to work.
Okay. You know, I grew up in the church, and our church would always do these awful Easter sunrise services where you actually have to get up that early. I mean, you really have to love Jesus to get up that early. And I
know that he is risen, but he will still be risen a little bit later.
About 8:30 or 9, you know.
8:39, he's still up, okay? I don't need to be irrelevant. But we do have a tradition. My mother-in-law makes an Easter cake in the shape of a bunny every year, and
right?
It's lovely.
Oh, and my mom would do that, and she would use the licorice for, and you eat the bunny, which, you know, is sick in itself, but it's delicious. It's delicious. I like it. You guys have a wonderful.
It tastes like chicken.
Bunny.
Thank
you. Ta-da-tsh. Adam, happy Easter. Thanks for being there, and thanks for joining us today. You're awesome.
Absolutely. Absolutely. He is risen.
He has risen indeed. Indeed.
More entertainment at MyMichelleLive.com.
I'm getting this down. I like it.